All right, everyone, get ready, because we are diving deep into the world of AI today. We've got this analyst report from All.net, and, well, you requested this deep dive, so we know you want to go beyond all the hype, right?
Right.
This report, Truth, Lies, and AI, really digs into something fascinating. Can machines, like, actually be intelligent, or are we just getting tricked by clever marketing?
You know, that's a question that people have been asking. Well, for a really long time. I mean, even before we had the technology to even think about creating AI.
So, I mean, where do we even start to, like, unravel something this complex? It feels huge.
Well, the report, it actually takes us all the way back to the Industrial Revolution.
Okay.
Back then, automation was all about machines replacing, like, physical labor. Think about those early factories. It's interesting, though, to think that even then, you know, it was a form of intelligence at work, right? Just not how we usually think of it today.
Yeah, it was all about efficiency, for sure. Like, better, faster, cheaper, kind of. But the report kind of suggests that things took a turn with computers, right?
Yeah.
We went from automating these physical tasks to trying to automate the thinking part of what we humans do.
Exactly. And that's where we get this idea of production systems, which the report really dives into. And, you know, early AI enthusiasts were really excited about them.
Okay, I'm going to need a bit more on this. What are production systems and what made them so promising?
Okay, so imagine a set of instructions, like a super detailed recipe. Each step has a condition. And if that condition is met, you take a specific action. If not, you skip to a different instruction. It's kind of like a computer's version of a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Got it.
Yeah.
So basically, we're programming computers to, like, make choices based on specific conditions. I mean, I can see how that could seem intelligent,
yep.
But how does that actually replicate, like, thinking?
Okay, well, theoretically, these production systems are so flexible, so versatile, that they could do, well, any task a computer can do. The early AI pioneers, they really believed that with the right combination of conditions and actions, you could basically, like, mimic how humans think. They thought they had, like, the blueprint for artificial intelligence, you know? They just didn't have the tools to build it yet.
But as the report says, they were held back by the technology of their time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those early computers, they were massive, slow, and they just couldn't handle the amount of data we process today.
That's exactly right. It's kind of like having the recipe for this amazing gourmet meal, but you only have a campfire to cook it on.
Right.
But things started changing, and changing rapidly in recent decades, with faster computers and tons of data becoming available. And that's when we saw things like expert systems and transformers. Those really pushed the field forward.
Okay, now things are getting really interesting. But before you explain those, you have to explain what those terms even mean. What are expert systems and transformers?
Sure. So think of expert systems as programs designed to, like, copy the knowledge of human specialists in certain fields.
Okay.
And transformers. Well, those are, like, these advanced AI models that are incredibly good at, like, understanding and processing language. Think about how accurately your smartphone understands what you're saying now. That's thanks to transformers.
So are we living in the Jetsons yet? Have we finally cracked the code of true artificial intelligence?
Oh, not so fast. The report brings up this really crucial point. There's a big difference between AI that can imitate intelligence and AI that truly understands.
So it's like it can solve a math problem, but doesn't actually know why that's the right answer.
That is a fantastic way to put it, yeah. AI is, you know, excellent at spotting patterns, analyzing data, but it struggles with things like judgment, context, even just connecting information to the real world. And this is where it gets really interesting. The report uses this analogy of, like, an alien spacecraft, right? Coming to Earth, scanning for signs of intelligent life, but ultimately leaving because it doesn't recognize us humans as intelligent beings.
Okay, that's a pretty funny image. But what does that have to do with artificial intelligence?
It comes down to this concept of finite state machines. Even with all the progress we've made, all the advancements, computers still work based on this, well, fundamental principle.
Okay, I'm going to need you to break that down for me. What exactly is a finite state machine?
Think of a light switch. It can only be in one of two states, right? On or off.
Yeah.
Even the most advanced computer, at its core, it works based on a limited number of, well, predefined states.
So even with all of our advancements, the basic technology hasn't really changed enough.
That's what the report suggests. Just like those aliens might not recognize our form of intelligence, AI built on these finite state machines might just never be capable of true understanding.
That is definitely something to think about. So even though we have like self-driving cars and AI that can write poetry, we're still missing something crucial.
We are. And understanding those limitations, as the report emphasizes, that's essential to realizing the true potential of AI, or maybe even, understanding what it can't do. It's led some people to believe that true AI, what some call Judgment Day, that might come from somewhere else entirely.
Where's that?
Advances in biological engineering.
Now, that is a curveball. You're saying instead of building AI, we might engineer it.
Yeah.
I think we need to dive deeper into that, but we'll have to save it for the next part of our deep dive. Welcome back to our deep dive on AI. We left off in part one with, well, a bit of a cliffhanger, talking about how the limitations of, current AI might lead us to what some call Judgment Day, but through a totally different path, biological engineering. It's
yeah.
a pretty wild concept, Okay. Instead of creating artificial brains from scratch, what do we enhance our own brains?
It's definitely pushing the boundaries of what we traditionally think of as AI. But if you think about the core challenge here, replicating or even surpassing human level intelligence, this idea, well, it starts to make a lot of sense.
Okay, but how would we even go about engineering intelligence at a biological level? I mean, we're still trying to figure out how our own brains work.
That's true, but fields like neuroscience and genetics, they're making, incredible breakthroughs all the time. We're getting closer to understanding the neural code, mapping those intricate connections in the brain, and we're developing tools to manipulate genes with, incredible precision.
So we're not just reading the blueprint of life, but learning how to rewrite it. That's both fascinating and a little bit intimidating.
It does raise, it does raise some ethical considerations for sure, but the scientific potential is huge. Imagine enhancing cognitive abilities, repairing brain damage, or even creating entirely new forms of consciousness.
It sounds like something straight out of science fiction, but the report seems to suggest this could be closer to reality than we think. What kind of timeline are we even talking about here?
It's hard to say for sure because, we're still in the early stages. But the advancements in biotechnology are happening at an incredible pace. I mean, what seems impossible today, it could be commonplace within a few generations.
So let's say, for argument's sake, that we do reach a point where we can, engineer intelligence biologically. How would that even be different from creating AI in computers?
That's where things get really thought-provoking. The report, it hints at a few potential differences.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat here. Lay it on me.
Yeah. Well, for one, biologically engineered intelligence, it would probably be a lot more intertwined with our bodies and, and the natural world. It wouldn't be confined to, the digital realm like AI is now.
So instead of those cold, emotionless robots we see in movies, we could have beings that are more like us, with emotions, instincts, even connection to their environment.
That's one possibility. And it forces us to really grapple with some big questions, right? What does it mean to be human? What rights and responsibilities would these, these new beings have? How would we coexist?
My head is spinning just thinking about it. We've gone from talking about lines of code to pondering the nature of consciousness and the potential creation of entirely new life forms.
It is a lot to unpack. And the report, it only scratches the surface, but that's what makes this deep dive so compelling, It encourages us to think beyond the headlines and consider the deeper philosophical and ethical implications of our pursuit of intelligence, whether it's artificial or biological.
And this brings us back to that idea of Judgment Day that the report keeps mentioning. Every time we talk about, advanced AI, there's this fear of machines becoming self-aware, and taking over. But the report suggests we might be looking at this the wrong way.
Yes. The Terminator scenario, it's a popular narrative, but it's based on assumptions about how AI would develop, assumptions that might not even be true.
So the real danger isn't some evil supercomputer, but something more subtle, something we might not even recognize as a threat.
Exactly. If we're only focused on the Hollywood version of AI, we might miss the less obvious, but potentially more impactful ways it could affect our lives. Think about how algorithms already influence us, every day.
You mean how they decide what news we see, what products we buy, who we connect with on social media?
Precisely. Even something as, as seemingly harmless as a movie recommendation, it can shape our perceptions and behaviors. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay. That is a little creepy. It's not about robots with weapons, but about algorithms subtly influencing our thoughts and actions in ways we might not even realize.
The report, it doesn't offer easy solutions, but it stresses the importance of, you know, having these discussions now. We need to be aware of the potential consequences of AI and, well, and participate in shaping its development.
It's not about fearing the future, but understanding it, right?
Yeah.
Making sure that, we're the ones writing the script, not the algorithm.
Ooh, that's the idea. We need to ensure that AI serves humanity, not the other way around.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. The history, the breakthroughs, the limitations of AI, even the potential for biological engineering. But how do we ensure a future where AI, you know, benefits all of us? We'll tackle that in the final part of our deep dive. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into AI. We've covered a lot, exploring the history, the breakthroughs, and even like the potential for biological engineering.
Yeah.
But let's get practical. Like, what can we actually do about these challenges? How do we make sure AI is a force for good?
Yeah, the report doesn't give us, like, you know, a step-by-step guide, but it does highlight some important areas where we can, you know, where we can focus our energy.
Okay, so what's step one?
Well, education, critical thinking are, well, they're absolutely crucial. We need to give people the tools to, you know, really understand this technology, to question the narratives around it, and to make, to make informed decisions about its development.
So it's not just about teaching everyone to code, but about helping people understand the impact AI has on, like, society as a whole.
Exactly. We need to, you know, we need to cultivate a generation that's not just passively consuming technology, but like actively shaping its future. They need to be able to ask those tough questions.
That makes a lot of sense. But even with like great education, don't we need some guardrails? How do we regulate something as complex and rapidly changing as AI?
Well, the report emphasizes the need for, you know, thoughtful and proactive regulation. It's about finding that that balance between encouraging innovation and ensuring that AI is developed and used ethically and, you know, and safely. It's a tricky challenge.
It sounds like walking a tightrope. Too much regulation and, you know, we stifle progress. Too little and we risk, well, we risk all kinds of unintended consequences.
That's a great analogy. And it really, it highlights the need for, you know, open collaboration between policymakers, tech experts, and the public. We need to work together to create those, you know, those clear guidelines for responsible AI development.
So it's a whole of society approach, not just, you know, tech geniuses working in isolation. But how do we even make sure these systems are, like, fair? What about bias in algorithms? That's a big concern.
Yeah, that's another critical aspect the report touches on. We have to address issues like bias, transparency, and accountability. AI systems, they should be designed and used in a way that's equitable and, you know, benefits everyone, not just a select few.
So it's not just about the technical stuff, but making sure like human values are baked into the development of AI from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another key point. We need to foster a culture of, you know, a culture of responsible innovation within the tech industry itself.
Okay, so how do we actually do that?
By encouraging, you know, ethical considerations at every stage of development. We have to move away from that, you know, move fast and break things mentality and embrace a more thoughtful approach to building these powerful technologies.
So it's about slowing down, thinking through the potential consequences right from the start, and making sure progress aligns with, you know, with human values.
That's the core message, yes.
Yeah.
AI has incredible potential to do good, but, you know, it's our responsibility to guide it wisely and ethically.
It's not about, like, fearing AI, but, you know, shaping it, right?
Right.
Making sure it serves humanity, not the other way around.
Exactly. It's about, you know, steering technology toward a future where it benefits us all.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into truth, lies, and AI. We've journeyed from the past to the future, exploring all the possibilities and the pitfalls. We uncovered the limitations of current AI, glimpsed the potential of biological engineering, and, you know, most importantly, I think we've identified ways to make sure AI evolves responsibly.
The future of AI, it's, you know, it's still being written. It's up to all of us to participate in shaping that future, to, you know, to engage in these critical conversations and to advocate for, well, for ethical and responsible development.
And who knows, maybe one day we'll look back and see this is like this moment where we all chose a path, you know, where AI and humanity can thrive together. Until next time, keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep diving deep.